Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Got through the field. He's got through. 35, 30.
Broken intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants.
But a Steven Gostkowski 54-yard field goal gives the Patriots a 27-26 victory in this game. And there are a million plays to talk about, a million things to talk about in this game. It went a million different ways. We'll get to everything. But let's start here, Jeff, on what a lot of people are talking about, the Giants' final drive. They get it down to the 5-yard line with just over 2 minutes to play. They get the ball to Odell Beckham Jr. in single coverage. He catches the ball, does not establish himself as a runner. The ball's knocked out. According to the rule and the way the plays have been called this year, that is the rule. It is what it is. The Giants can't get the ball into the end zone, and the Patriots end up going back down and scoring. So let's take it with that red zone possession first. What did you see on those three plays from the Giants?
Well, after looking back at it and listening to what Eli had said on his press conference after the game, you know, everything happens so fast down there. They were in their – you know, their goal line personnel. So Eli had said it, that he had changed the play on the first play. They scored a touchdown in a lot of people's minds. But, you know, I'm in the opinion that you want to be able to score a touchdown there any way you can do it. Get the touchdown. You can go back and say, did you run it on first down? And they had a one timeout and a 2 minute left to stop the clock. So regardless, the Giants or the Patriots are still going to have a lot of time to go down and do what they did. It's just a matter of maybe 30 or 40 seconds in there, maybe 20 to 40. I don't know if you kind of break it down. But in my mind, I'm all for let's go for a touchdown any way we can. So I think there's a lot of schools of thought here, John, and it's just a matter of which one you want to try to pick. But you know, the first.
Well, here it is. Here it is, Jeff. And we did the math on this, and here's the bottom line. If you go all three plays there, and your second and third plays, whatever the case might be, you run the clock. So you have a two-minute warning, but you run the clock. The other plays, you make the Patriots call their timeout, okay? So you have one full play clock that gets taken off. That means the Patriots would have gotten the ball with about a minute 15 seconds to play in the game, you know, assuming that Amendola would have taken the knee again. So they would have had the ball down two with a minute and 15 seconds to play. And here's my question for Giant fans that, you know, I've been getting on Twitter. I'm sure you've been getting it on Twitter, complaining about how they managed the clock at the end of that game. Would you rather give the Patriots 2 minutes, down a touchdown, they have to score a touchdown to win, or would you rather give them a minute 15 seconds to go 40 yards to kick a field goal?
With no timeouts.
Exactly.
With no timeouts. I would rather have the latter because there's still not enough time.
You would rather have make him go down and score the touchdown?
No, I want the first one. What did I say? The second one?
Yeah.
Not. No, I want them to go score.
You want to make them score a touchdown.
Absolutely.
Because it's too easy for Tom
not
Brady
latter,
to get that 30.
One,
right.
Excuse me,
it's too easy to you confuse the heck out of me there for a second. So you want to make the Patriots go the length of the field for a touchdown in even just 2 minutes with one timeout or no timeouts, depending on how it might go down.
Because now they have to go 80 yards rather than 40.
Because here's the thing. If the Giants theoretically, run the ball three times there. They get as much time off the clock as possible. The Patriots get the ball at the minute 15 seconds, okay?
Right.
If they go down there and they kick a game-winning field goal the way they did in this game, do you know what every phone call this morning is going to be? You can't kick field goals against the Patriots.
Yeah.
You can't expect to beat the Patriots and kick a field goal. How can you give Tom Brady over a minute and all he needs is a field goal to win the game? That would have been every single call this morning if that's how the Giants would have handled it. You're damned if you do, damned if you don't. And here's the bottom line. On that first down play, everybody wanted to run the ball. You got the ball into the hands of your best player. He had two hands on the football.
He
had 2 feet down. He had the touchdown. For whatever reason, the ball was held out instead of tucked in. It got knocked away. As Odell put it after the game, he takes the loss on his shoulders. He said that the Patriot player played through the play longer than he did, which was absolutely true, and they don't get the touchdown there. And to me, I cannot get mad about a play in which you virtually have a touchdown on the board, but the defense happens to make a great play, and Odell maybe doesn't do everything he possibly can to hold on to the football.
I don't either. I just told you that. I have no problems with the sequence of the plays down there. What I do have a problem with is that five red zone trips, you only get one field goal. I mean, one score in five times down there. You get a strip fumble in Patriots territory. You go, it's incomplete pass, a run. You turn. Listen, there were so many more things that we have to talk about rather than that.
It sounds like your mic might have cut out here, Jeff. I'm not sure what's going on there. I don't know what the heck happened. We'll see if we can get that fixed here as we move forward. But I don't know what happened, but we'll figure it out in a second. Don't worry about it. In the meantime, I want to get right to the calls. We have a lot else to talk about on this show today. 201-939-4513. Let's go to Drew in Virginia first. Drew, you can lead us off. What's going on, pal?
Hey, Jeff. Hey, John. How you doing?
What's going on, pal? How are you?
All right. Yeah, I actually do want to talk about that last possession. There's a whole bunch of coulda, woulda, shouldas. Yeah, they should have intercepted the ball. Yeah, they should have did this. Yeah, Odell, blah, blah, blah. You know, when I look at the win-loss columns, there isn't a woulda, shoulda, coulda. There isn't no if columns. There's a win and loss column. That said, I tell you right now, man, I don't know between Coughlin, McAdoo, and Eli, somebody got to get their head in the game.
Hold on. What did they do wrong?
If you give me a chance to speak without screaming at me, I'll tell you.
All right, Drew, relax. Give me your point.
Okay. So the way I see it, all right, yeah, they could have ran more time off of the clock. All right? Those three pass plays down, I know you got to score the touchdown. I'm not even going to argue that point. Yeah, you need a touchdown. You're not beating this team with a field goal.
But that's the point,
all right? All right. The way I see it, okay, and the way I'm going to see it, because we've had this issue before, is the play calling down there. I don't know why we couldn't have run the ball and take some more time off the clock.
Because you're trying to score a touchdown.
Okay, what, you can't score a touchdown running?
Not when your starting center and your starting left guard is out. You haven't run the ball into the end zone all year in the red zone, and the Patriots have shut down your running game all game.
Okay, so you still try to run the ball, okay? That's the way you guys see it, and that's fine and dandy. We're going to disagree on that. The way I see it is they should have tried to take some more time off the clock. It comes down to, once again, a time management
issue. Drew, you can't have it both ways. You can't say I want the touchdown, but you want to take time off the clock at the same time. You can't have it both ways.
Dude, you got to try to run that ball. That's what I'm telling you. You got to try to run the ball. This is the NFL, the National Football League. You got to try to run the ball.
All right.
That's what I'm saying.
Drew, over the course of that game, the Giants averaged 3.5 yards per carry. That's including a 10-yard Eli Manning scramble. If you think they're going to run the ball in there on that Patriots defense, good luck. It wasn't going to happen from the 5-yard line.
Especially when they have their goal line personnel in the game. And when you have
– I understand all of that. You got to try to run the ball because you got to try to take some time off the clock.
Okay, Drew. Okay? Drew, hold on. Let me ask you a question. They have their goal line personnel. Sounds to me like you played football somewhere down the line. You have goal line personnel in the game, okay? You have one-on-one matchups on the outside with your best player one-on-one matched up with one of their guys. And you want to run the football.
Dude, okay, let me
No,
let
no,
me
answer the
this.
Question. Seriously.
I'm going to try.
You're
going to
try to run it with that personnel.
I'm going to try to answer your question. Here's why I want to try to run the football, okay?
Right.
Because I'm going to make the Patriots use that last timeout. I'm going to try to take some time off the clock. Now, I understand what you said. I understand. It's a tough call. I get it. It's a tough call. However, you still got to try to burn time off the clock, and I'm just going to stick with that.
Okay, so Drew,
how much time you would have? They still had a timeout. You would have maybe just burned how many seconds?
30 seconds. If you run the ball all three times there, you would have burned another 40 seconds or so off the clock.
Thank you.
So Drew, the bottom line is, you're telling me then, getting time off the clock is more important than scoring the touchdown. If you're willing to say that, that's fine.
No, that's not what
No, but then you're contradicting yourself. You're contradicting yourself because they had the ball in Beckham's hands for a touchdown.
Myself. You're trying to put words in my mouth. I'm not trying to contradict myself, okay? You know what? Let me clarify, put it this way, okay? You are a football team in the National Football League. Try to make a play. This team is not making plays
they
down
did.
In the end zone.
Drew, they had the ball in Beckham's hands for a touchdown. That's making a play based on the personnel on the field, as Jeff mentioned. You have Beckham one-on-one with the corner that he's better than. You had the ball in his hands for the score. The play was made. It was done. It was in the books. He had the ball in his hands. You have
right.
what you want. If you say you want a touchdown, you had a touchdown. It's
right
there in his hands. You have
it. We had a touchdown, and it didn't happen, and we still came up with a loss. Let me go back to some other plays, okay?
Because sure.
I felt like the offense just didn't get it done, all right? We get down in the red zone, sack, fumble, lose the ball. Get down in the red zone again, Eli goes backwards. Yeah, this team just is not getting it done. And at the end of the day, you know, I'm a huge Yankees fan. And I say that from this standpoint, okay? The Yankees won 4 World Series championships under Joe Torre. After a while, it was time for Joe Torre to go. I hate to say it. I love Tom Coughlin. I don't know, man. It's just time.
Yeah. All right, Drew. Thanks for the call,
Drew,
pal.
We appreciate you calling in. I know it's a tough day for everybody. And we're going to get a lot of calls, and we're going to get a lot of discussion. And really, John, like I said at the very beginning, there's so many different schools of thought here. Not one of them is correct in anybody's mind, but, you know, the bottom line is, hey, they lost the game. But really, when we look at the rest of the game and the opportunities that were there, a lot of other opportunities for the Giants to win this game other than what happened at the end of the game. So in my mind, there's a lot of stuff.
Jeff, there's a 4th and 10 that the Giants should have gone on the field at, in which they misplayed. And then you have the play where Landon Collins has the ball in his hands for an interception that ends the ball game, and he drops it.
You also had a drive that was started inside the Patriots territory, and I said this earlier. I don't know if anybody heard me, but that ended in, you know, they get the ball back there, they get a penalty, a sack, an incomplete pass. The next series, the Patriots score on the next possession, and then the next possession after that, the Giants go 3 and out. So I mean, there's a series of things happening in this game. Overall, my perspective, I thought that Coach Spagnuolo put one of the best game plans together of the season.
Fantastic.
And part of it was jamming those receivers off the line of scrimmage. You noticed that when Edelman went out of this game, the Giants had a chance.
They did.
It was like all of a sudden, okay, wow, look at this. This is good. But they are the world champions, and they are the Patriots, the most well-coached team in the league. They're going to get some momentum back and get going. If you are going to knock off the best people, the best team in the league, you've got to play good football. 5 red zone trips, 1 touchdown,
yep.
is not going to get it done.
No, it's not going to get it done. Exactly right. You got to score touchdowns against the Patriots if you want to win. A number of missed opportunities in this game. We've talked about a few of them. Again, the Collins drop, the 4th and 10, the big Ninkovich sack on Eli Manning that knocked him out of field goal range. How about the Danny Amendola punt return that went back? Cover a punt. You let him go all the way across the field.
I'm sure we could talk about that, too.
You have to cover the punt better.
And thank God for Josh Brown.
Oh,
seriously.
What a year he's having, huh?
Come on. Now, we said it in the pregame. In one of my keys, and I'm not, I don't have an ego where I'm all right. I said it in my keys. If this game comes down to a close game, both teams have outstanding kickers.
They do.
And look at the two guys, Gaskowski and Brown. I mean, they're on a streak, both of them. You knew if it came down to a game like it did, that the kicker, these guys could definitely make 54-yard kick.
Right.
I mean, you talk about a clutch kick at the end of a game. I mean, wow. But Josh Brown really has been an MVP of this team this year.
And quite frankly, I thought Eli Manning played a fantastic game.
I
thought
goodness.
He was putting balls into really tight spots all game. He had a couple one-on-ones in the first half. Miles White made a big play on the ball.
On a nice
Ruben
play.
Randall made a nice play on the ball. Will Ty had a drop, but otherwise he had 5 catches for 56 yards in this game, including a beautiful pass by Eli down the seam between 2 Patriot linebackers.
There, yeah.
I thought Manning played a great game, and you mentioned the game planning. And I want to apologize. I don't remember what caller it was, but last week I think it was on Tuesday. I had a caller call and say, you know what the Giants should do this next week to shut down Gronkowski? They should man him up with Craig Dowell.
That's nice.
And quite frankly,
sweet.
I was like,
Yeah.
You can't single up Rob Gronkowski. But you know what? Call whoever it is, and I hope you're listening.
Kudos.
Excellent, excellent job. Because Craig Dahlin, look, there were some errors, and you're going to have some mistakes, and Gronkowski's going to make some plays. He's one of the – he is the best tight end of football. It's going to happen. But for the most part, Craig Dahlin, when he got up at the line of scrimmage – and he jammed Gronkowski at the line. He did a very, very good job on him.
Yeah,
very good job on him.
And we were actually saw Coach Spags in the hallway before our show, and we were just kind of talking a little bit about that. And he had said, "Hey, Figs, listen, we didn't want him to be that much on him. It was just the way it worked out. It worked out good." He
right.
said, "You know, so it was interesting." And I think really the catch. Or not the non-catch for Collins, really. I mean, that talk about putting the nail in the coffin. That was
the game.
Man, oh,
that
man.
Was game over.
You know, that young man, is that's going to sit in his crow for a while, and hopefully he'll understand that you make plays like that. That can be a famous play for you.
Hey, look, really, Jeff, here's the thing, and we've talked about this all year long. A lot of times these games between great teams, and look, against the Patriots, you almost have to play a perfect game to beat
them. You
do. It's just
Come
the
on.
Way it goes.
Yeah.
The Giants in the winning the turnover battle in this game, they were a plus one, but whenever against the Patriots, there's one little play here or there that you don't manage to make, whether it's Beckham holding onto the ball in the end zone or Collins catching the ball in the middle of the field, the Patriots always, always figure out a way to make you pay for that one play you didn't make. And in the games the Giants have won this year, Jeff, they've made those big plays at the
sure.
end of the games, whether it's the Jennings run against Buffalo, the Donnell catch against San Francisco. Go down the list. They've made those plays. And for the most part in this game against the Patriots, they were making those plays.
Sure.
But just those final two drives, they couldn't make those one of those two plays, they win the game, and they couldn't come down with either one.
The 4th and 10 play, just make, you know, just get a little more push off the line of scrimmage. I mean, it's just these the little things. And that's the difference, really, between professional football is – you know, the talent across the board is very, very similar. You have your superstars, but it comes down to just the little things to make the plays. And as Coach Coughlin always says, finish. You know, the team didn't finish again. They didn't finish. And it's unfortunate. The silver lining behind this, in my opinion, is Giants are still in first place. That's not an opinion. That's a fact. But the other part is that you now know that this team is capable of putting a game together against a team that is undefeated and most likely the best team in the league. They know they can play. They can play with these guys. And being in first place and moving on from here, you know, that'll give them a little bit of a confidence, I hope. But, you know, I'm kind of leaning towards the moral victory part of this, but, you know, we can talk a little bit about
this. Yeah, you can. But
it's not a victory.
That,
I don't mean it's a moral victory, but it's kind of like you can kind of feed off of some of the things that you did good in this game against a quality opponent.
Well, now you got to do that. You got to repeat those things against Washington now, because if you don't repeat them versus Washington, it doesn't mean anything.
Exactly. And, you know, you were kind of hoping that you were going to get some guys healthy. Well, you got, you know, Richburg went out of the game. I don't know. We're going to find out more about him today. But,
ankle injury.
So that's it was the game of the ankles.
And by the way, and you know, you figure with Pugh having the late in the day inactive situation, Richburg going out, the Patriots second in the league in sacks, and then on the defensive line, the Giants haven't gotten pressure all year. For the most part, the Giants actually did a really good job up front. Eli wasn't hit a whole lot in this game.
No.
You know, he was strip sacked from behind that one time, but Ninkovich had the one big one, but he wasn't being harassed all game. Then the other side, they made Tom Brady uncomfortable. And it wasn't just JPP either. It was a litany of guys that did it.
A litany of guys, and also it just kind of goes to show you a little bit about the presence of JPP.
Yeah.
And he, you know, we talk about him just being on the field and having them have to account for him means something to that to those other guys, and it showed yesterday.
And by the way, we should mention, too, and then it'll be your calls the rest of the way, Victor Cruz today took to Bleacher Report and Uninterrupted to make the announcement that he's having season-ending calf surgery. I'm sure a lot of you guys have heard that. We can talk about that. We'll know what the Giants have to say about it when Tom Coughlin speaks to the media at 1:15. We're going to have to get off at around 12:57 or so today, folks, just because we got to get ready for Coach. But
yeah, that's
Cruz is out for the year. I mean, look, is it a super surprise? He hasn't played yet this year, so I guess it can't be shocking. But I think it would have been a nice boost to have him back after the bye to give Eli another weapon. And certainly it's a end of a depressing year for Victor Cruz. He came all the way back from that knee, and he just couldn't shake this calf.
So much promise. You know, really, the way he healed and got better, and then all of a sudden the calf. And You wonder what the surgery is going to be like. Is it a lot like Nat Burhe? What happened to him? I don't know exactly what entailed the surgery. I have no idea what it is. But bottom line is, you know, they're going to have to move on without him. And I'll tell you what, Dwayne Harris, man, that dude can play. He is impressive.
I just
love watching that guy just grind it out every game, and he is a tough cookie. Woo! Man, is he tough.
Fans, don't forget Big Blue Kickoff Live is brought to you by DraftKings, the daily fantasy sports destination. At DraftKings, you can play as often as you want with no season-long commitment. Go to DraftKings.com, enter promo code CONTACT to play for free today. DraftKings Fantasy Sports, free to play. Miguel is out in Phoenix. Miguel, what's going on?
Hi, Miguel.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
How are you, buddy?
Pretty good, pretty good. Hey, so I'm going to kind of go on the positive side of this game.
Good.
I mean, earlier in the season, week three, week four, we were playing, you know, all right, and everybody was calling in, and we were kind of going down the schedule, and we were like, oh, you know, when we face the Patriots, we're going to lose. Everybody chalked this up as a loss. So what I take this as is the way we lost, it kind of reminds me of that 07 campaign. We lost to the Patriots in the regular season, but we barely lost to them, and they were the best team in the NFL. Still stands true today. I mean, that's the best team in the NFL, and we held our own with them.
Right.
I mean, you look at the stats for this game. It's ridiculous. We were right there with them the entire game. Here, give me a second. Let me look this up real quick. So total plays, 70 for the New York Giants, 68 for New England. Total yards, 422 for the New York Giants. New England had 406.
Yep.
Third down efficiency, 7 for 15 for the Giants, 7 for 14 for the New England Patriots. Fourth down efficiency, we didn't take any fourth down chances. They were 1 for 1. I mean, guys, this game couldn't have got any closer. So when people are saying, you know, the coaching staff needs to go and we need to make changes, I totally disagree. Hey, this team the last couple of weeks was the worst team in the NFL in rushing, but we got to Tom Brady. Like, a lot. It wasn't just JPP. I saw Robert Ayers get pressure on him. I saw Colin Jenkins get pressure on him. I saw DeMontre Moore getting back there, scaring him a bit. You know, so I really think this is not a game for us to say, you know, we totally blew it. I think this is a game for us to say, hey, we can turn this season around. You know, this game, the best team in the NFL, and we were right there with them, they're blowing people out 20 points a game, and we're right there, and they blew us out by 1 point? I mean, come on.
Now, Miguel, look, I hear you, and I think the key now is to repeat this performance going forward. I think Jeff would agree this is the Giants' best performance of the year. It's unfortunate it comes in a loss.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, no Deion Lewis for the pass. Edelman gets hurt in the first half. That obviously hurts them. But the Giants were without two starting offensive linemen, so it goes both ways in this game. And, Jeff, again,
right.
I think if they can take this performance and play to this level the rest of the year, there's no reason this team shouldn't be in the playoffs. But, again, that's a big if. They have to prove they can carry this performance and repeat it.
Well, I think it all be sorry, Miguel.
No,
my point is, I said it earlier, I just think you take the positives from this and you move on. The positive is that they're still in first place, and we know that this is going to have to be that way to get into the playoffs. There's no wild card coming out of this division. So, yeah,
right.
You move on from this, but John said you got to continue the trend. You got to take this and keep playing like this. I mean, it's sick to know to think that you lose a game by scoring 49 points against the Saints and lose that game. And then this
right.
game, you're playing the best team in the National Football League, the best coach team in the National Football League, the best quarterback in the National Football League, and you lose the game with a minute and so many seconds left in the game. So, yes, it's sick.
I think for our team, though, this was a big learning experience. And it sucks to say that because we could have got the win. I mean, I think it was a touchdown with Odell, but you know, whatever, you know, we got a loss. It is what it is.
Yep.
But when you look at this team and the way people are judging us, they're saying, you know, we don't have a pass rush. We got the lift with JPP, so we're back. We're back to getting pressure. I'm hoping that continues. We get Prince and Mukamara back, you know, after the bye. You know, our passing defense, cover defense, you know, 10 times better at that point. You know, Our offensive line was playing lights out. I mean, what did Eli get pressured like three times the entire game? We got strip sack fumble for once. I mean, I really think that this is a learning experience. Odell, tuck the ball away. You know, now he knows that when I make a play, I just need to tuck it away, seal the deal. Same with Landon Collins. He's a rookie, guys. He's going to make rookie mistakes. And that I don't think that was a rookie mistake. I just think it was a bad, you know, he got a wrong angle on it, fell wrong, you know, whatever.
Yep.
I really think if he would have been a yard more into the jump, like if he would have been a yard deeper and jumped up and caught that ball, he would have caught it. It's just, you know, he was too far forward, jumped backwards, tried to catch it, caught it, landed on his elbow. You know, I mean, these are all mistakes that can be coached. And I think that this game, out of all games, should be like, you know, the switch, the light switch. Hey, guys, we just played lights out football, and we were inch for inch with the best team in the NFL. Let's keep this going. If we play like this in every single game, I don't doubt that we could beat, you know, the Carolina Panthers, the Miami Dolphins, all these teams that we got coming up where people say it's the toughest schedule. This is a tough team.
All right. Thank you, Miguel. Appreciate the call, my friend. And I think, if you can repeat this performance, and again, based on what we've seen over the course of the entire season, that is a legitimate if. They'll be in very good shape trying to win this division and go into the playoffs.
No, they have to. I mean, this was their biggest challenge of the season was this game here. So if you kind of use it as a measuring stick of how they can play against an opponent like this, then, you know, hey, go do it. Go do it. Prove it. Proof's in the pudding, you know. They got a bye here. Now, you talk about the bye. Time to get healthy, time to go back. And, you know, in every NFL team during the bye, they go back and they work on the fundamentals and just kind of, you know, they don't game plan 2 weeks ahead for the next opponent. It's just this next week we'll get some time off, and then the guys will come by, they'll practice, they'll do fundamentally stuff, they'll do self-scout, they call it, get in the meeting rooms, kind of work on some things they need to do for the next six games, then they'll start preparing for the Washington Redskins. Big division game.
201-939-4513. Fans, don't forget that Big Blue Kickoff Live is brought to you by DraftKings. Now, if you've never played on DraftKings, it's changing the way we play fantasy football. Just pick your contest, pick your players, and if you win, pick up your cash. Simple as that. Go to DraftKings.com and enter promo code CONTACT to claim your free entry today. DraftKings Fantasy Sports, free to play. Abdul's in Minneapolis. Abdul, what's up?
Hey, guys.
What's up, Abdul?
Hello.
Good. Listen, I'm bummed that we lost the game because we lost. But I'm not, you know, upset about clock management. You know, Brady threw an interception at the goal line. You know, he made a mistake, too. One of the tight ends dropped a wide open pass when they were going down two, while they were trying to march the ball.
Yeah, Chandler.
You know, we didn't make some plays, and that's football. You know what I mean? But we went out playing hard. You know, we hit Brady. We made him fumble a couple of times. We picked the ball off at the goal line. You know, Odell had the ball in his hands. You know, but it just didn't close the deal. You know, I'm you know, not that I'm not upset, because, you know, when the guy made the field goal, I threw my remote down on my couch, and I, you know, yelled out a curse. So I was upset.
Of course.
But I wasn't as angry as
so was Feagles.
We were at the end of the Dallas game. You know what I mean?
Kick the dog.
Like, you know, this, like, we, you know, the positive aspects game, we finally found a middle linebacker. I think Brinkley is there for a while. If you watched him play last night, he covered better than Unga. He covered better than Beeson. And he stuck some people. He filled some holes.
Makes some
and
plays.
He knocked some people back.
Yeah, forcing, you know, fumbles two games in a row. You
know, right, exactly. You know, Dobb made a couple of decent plays. He took that one bad angle. But so did McCordle on the first touchdown to Beckham. You know, like, we are, you know, this game, we came around. We played hard, you know, and I don't fear anyone now. You know, I look at, you know, I see Minnesota every week. They looked good yesterday, but I don't see, you know, we could beat Minnesota. We could beat Carolina. You know, it's like,
Abdul, let me put it this way.
You know, we have,
Abdul, I'll,
you know,
put it this way.
We had a great defensive, hello?
Every game the rest of the year, the Giants can win. Every game the rest of the year, the Giants can lose.
Yeah, but, you know, at
they
the
just
end
have to play
of the
well.
Dallas game or the end of certain other games, end of the Philly game, I was like, what do we have? You know, like, I'm psyched that we found a middle linebacker. You know, that, you know, we could make him stops now.
You know, you make a good point with Brinkley, because he really has. This is the third game in a row that he's played. And, you know, every game he's getting better. The last two games he's had forced fumbles. He's defended the pass. He's getting there on run support. Right. And I think that you're right. I think, you know, he's been a nice fill-in for Beeson.
And I think with JPP coming back, it's made our line better. You know, I think it's down. You know, we lost Hankins and Suck. But is it me or did the line look lively yesterday? You know, we're making plays. You know, and as I said, I'm upset about the loss, but, you know, just listening to some of the phone calls that came in, and, you know, other things I've been reading, people are, you know, are just trying, you know, of course, you know, it's a bad, it's a loss. It's, you know, it's bad, but come on, guys, we're halfway, we're 5-5. We have winnable games coming up. You know, I think we're, you know, this is the same exact feeling that I had in our past two Super Bowl runs. We had some terrible losses those years. Remember the loss to Minnesota where Eli threw 5 interceptions?
Yeah.
You know, but then, you know, let's get to the playoffs and let's go from there because this team could play with anyone. So
right,
that's the way I'm looking at it. I don't want to lose any more games, you know, but the same thing, you know, I'm not that heartbroken. I'm excited about getting over the bye and going, you know, going forward. I don't have this doom and gloom thing. I'm excited about the season. That's all you could ask for.
Thanks, Abdul. You know?
Thanks, Abdul. Appreciate the call, my friend.
11-5 would be pretty good.
Oh, man, relax.
No, I'm just saying. I don't want to lose any more games. Yeah. Can you imagine? It would be absolutely incredible. But they definitely would win the division there.
Well, yeah, you think?
Yeah, I think so. I think they only got to win 3 more games to win the division, in my opinion.
Well, but that had to be the right games.
They got to be the right games, yeah. Minnesota would be one.
No. Most important game on the schedule besides Philly? Washington.
Yeah, next week.
If they lose to Washington, they will not have the tiebreaker against Philly, even if they beat Philly in the final game, assuming Philly beats Washington themselves.
And when you're thinking about that last game of the season, it's shaping up to probably be the game of the year for them, you know, who knows.
Well, but it could be. I mean, look, we'll see if the Eagles are there. Maybe the Redskins are fine for the Giants for first place in 8. Heck, maybe it's Dallas. They're only 2.5 games back.
You never know, man. And, you know, we've said it all along. The Giants, you got to get ready for this. It's just like this. It's been that way all year. You think that it's going to change? I mean, hopefully it does. But, I mean, this is the way that the season has gone so far. So you got to think that maybe every week it's cardiac arrest, man. I'll tell you what, it is amazing to me. These games go down to the fourth quarter every week. Woo! Man.
And Jasper Brinkley has been a very, very welcome addition. He's actually done a pretty good job.
He really has. And, I you know, we had him on the postgame show last night, and he was saying how he's just becoming more comfortable with the system, becoming more comfortable with the guys that are on the field, what his role is, and he's just, you know, using the old company line, just trying to get better, and he is. He's gotten better every game since he's been in there.
So. Now, I'd like to get JT Thomas healthy so you get a consistent linebacking core every week, but we'll see if that can happen.
And that's
hopefully,
been very difficult all year, too.
And hopefully Prince gets back, too, because, you know, if Prince plays in this game, he maybe knocks down that pass that Jaron Hosley can, another big play in this game, so hopefully you'll get Prince back, and I forget which caller brought that up. I think Miguel did. You get him back, and hopefully that'll help your coverage a little bit.
It's amazing to me that how he has such a hard time of judging the football, Hosley. You know, I mean,
he does. You know what? He actually is very good at mirroring the wide receivers. He just doesn't play the ball very well.
Ball skills are just are very, very below average.
All right, let's go back to the phones. Jay in Washington D.C. Jay, what's going on?
Hi, Jay.
Hey, what's going on, Jeff? How you doing, John?
What up,
Jay? Thanks for taking my call.
No problem. Thanks for calling.
Hey, listen, you know, well, first thing I want to say, John, please don't speak the blasphemy of the Dallas Cowboys. You know, these guys are like Beetlejuice. You know, you say their names too many times and they appear right on up.
Put the little stuff on them. Sorry, Jay. My bad.
But I just wanted to say the elephant. This team could easily be 9-1. You know, we lost 10-point leads. You know, and this team is really good in my opinion. Granted, you know, the injuries, but I mean that happens to everybody.
Yeah.
As far as the game goes, you know, I've listened to the guy Drew that was complaining about the first. The play, and you know, football isn't about one play. You know, football is about a couple plays that should have been made. And I was watching the Baltimore Ravens game because I'm from D.C., and they showed a stat in the Ravens game that said on third down percentages that the Ravens are 47.9 in letting offenses get a first down, and we're 47.6. So meaning that we have to get people off the field on third down. That's the main thing as far as with the defense. And Eli played a great game, great two plays that I had a big problem with. I think it was one where he scrambled and just missed Dwayne Harris. And
no, it wasn't Harris. It wasn't Harris. It was I think it was Jerome Cunningham over the middle. He just missed
Cunningham.
Over his head. Yeah,
it was Cunningham.
Right.
My mistake. That's
okay.
And the other play was
I forgot about that
play. After we didn't get the catch from Beckham moved to the other side on the right, and he threw it to Harris on that one and missed him, but he had Beckham coming underneath on like a whip route, same play that he scored in the New Orleans game. I don't know if you get a chance to look back to that second play after Beckham didn't make the catch. They moved Beckham on the right side, and he kind of came underneath Harris, and Beckham was wide.
You know, Jay,
so Eli just happened to miss him.
Jay, you're the second person that's told me on that second down play Beckham was open. I've been running around this morning. I have not had a chance to rewatch that play,
yeah.
But I will see if I can do it now and see exactly how open Beckham was.
Yeah, he was really – I mean, you know, he could have salsaed and whipped and do all those crazy touchdown celebrations that he likes to do. But also, I just wanted to speak about Victor Cruz. You know, I really feel sorry that he is injured because he's one of my favorite players. You know, I love the Giants. I told my girlfriend if the Giants was a woman, like, she might be in trouble, you know. But you know, I was just upset to hear that he's hurt. I figure, and I wonder how long did they know that he might not play, because Nat Burhe, I believe, have the same calf injury. And, you know, I figure we might could have put Victor Cruz on IR and probably could have got a player, you know, defensive-wise. What do you guys think about that?
Well, I mean, they obviously thought they can get Victor Cruz back. I mean, they tried to work him in the practice at the end of September, beginning of October. He had the setback. They thought he might be able to come back then. And he's frankly worked in practice the last 2 weeks and ran last week. And, Jay, thanks a lot for the call. We appreciate it. They thought he would be able to make his way back.
Yep.
But the calf did not cooperate. It never came back all the way. And you don't hear very often that you're having surgery on a muscle. Usually you don't hear about that very often. So, like you said, I don't know what the surgery is going to be. The Giants, I'm sure, will talk about it later in the day. But the bottom line is that he couldn't make it back. He wanted to play. He was dying to play. But it just didn't come together with that calf.
And you kind of think about, you know, his return at 100% was probably compromised. And so they said, you know what, you can maybe wait until the second to the last game of the season or something. But
yeah
it's just all a timing thing and what his percentage of him coming back at to activate him. So, you know, or they say, let's get the surgery, and then that way we can start on our rehab on it and get you ready for the off season quicker rather than wait till January, February to have the surgery too. So a lot of things that go into that decision. Certainly by the organization and the coaches and the player. So
201-939-4513. Let's go back to the phones. JC is all the way out in Phoenix, Arizona. JC, what's going on?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
How are you, JC?
How are you, buddy?
All right. I knew we were going to get some negative callers. You know who the predictable ones are, but, man, I don't want Tom Coughlin gone. I want to give kudos to Coughlin and Spagnuolo because
– And McAdoo.
Go ahead.
I said, and McAdoo.
And McAdoo. You know, they got the team ready to play the best team in the NFL. I mean, my goodness, they were motivated. They were flying around. They kept the game close. That's how I wanted to start off the morning, you know, by giving kudos to the coaching staff, you know, for getting the team ready and a good game plan. You know, it was an excellent game. Like Drew said, this is the NFL. And you know what? The Patriots are going to make their plays. The Giants are going to make their plays. You know, so, you know, it's who comes out on top, who has that, you know, the ball at the end of the play there. But, you know, I thought we did good, man. I was proud of our team. And, you know, that it's a statement, you know, for the NFL that we can play anybody, you know, and that's, you know, I'm proud of our team for that. And one more thing here, Brinkley, you guys already kind of touched on it, but, man, where was he? When we were signing all these other players like Unga and, you know, Casillas, where was Brinkley at? I'm curious.
Well, he was in Minnesota before.
Now he was in Minnesota, then he was with Dallas over the summer.
Over the summer,
and
yeah.
Then Dallas cut him at the final cuts. The Giants brought him in, I believe, right after week one, if memory serves me right. And I think it took him a little while to learn the playbook. That's why you didn't see more of him earlier in the year. But now that he's figured things out, he's out there. I would be surprised if he gave this job up. I mean, I think he's been very solid. He's a veteran. He understands what he's doing. I think he's a better run player than a pass player. But especially considering the fact, I mean, you saw Brinkley post game. He's a big, hulking linebacker. He's a big, solid dude. So, I mean, I think
he,
Brinkley, oh, what, 28, 29? Jasper Brinkley, you got it right there, right, Jeff? What do you got? Yeah, he started for the Vikings for 3 or 4 years when he was there. 53.
I just got one more thing.
He started.
I was watching the Rich Eisen show on NFL Now.
Uh-huh.
And he was talking about the Beckham catch, really defending you know, the fact that it was a touchdown. You know, we can go back and forth all day with this, but I really think that they need to change this rule. And just, you know, how is he supposed to establish himself as a runner when he's right there, you know, in the, you know, on the sideline? Like, they want him to run out the end zone, go get a hot dog at the stands.
I agree.
It's just stupid. There's a gray area with that, with this call. If it's in the end zone, all they need to do is establish the catch, you know, the 2 feet, and that's it. I mean, you know what I mean? It shouldn't have to be.
Which in that case, that's a touchdown.
I mean, if you can run into the end zone and poke the ball into the end zone and people knock it out, and that's still a touchdown, it's just very it's contradictory. You know what I mean? Because, dude, he had the catch. He made the catch, 2 hands, 2 feet, play is over. That's how they need to do it. Just one rule. One touchdown, one way.
All right, well,
I'll take that off the air.
I appreciate it. Thank you. All right, here's, guys, this Beckham thing's a little bit more complicated, the rule, than that, because here's the whole key.
I appreciate
what constitutes, and thanks a lot for the call, you can lose it. What constitutes possession on a catch? Now, what constitutes possession in the end zone has to be the same thing that constitutes possession in the field of play. Possession's possession. When does the receiver actually have possession of the football? I'm going to watch that second down play in a second, by the way. I just brought it up. But when do you have possession? Because if all possession is ball in your hands and 2 feet down, you're going to have a bajillion fumbles in the field of play. A billion.
Right.
Because you know what happens when the receiver catches it 2 feet down, they get hit, the ball goes flying.
Yeah.
Normally that's incomplete.
Right.
You're going to have a million fumbles if that's what you want to make the rule.
It's the
just
run
be
part
warned. Here's the thing. If you want to simplify this thing and don't talk about the whole become a runner thing, Beckham didn't have the ball in his hands long enough. He did not hold on the ball long enough. A millisecond after his foot hit the ground, the ball got knocked out. Now, here's the problem the NFL has with this play. If you put this play side by side with the Golden Tate play from earlier this year, and I've talked about this Golden Tate show play weeks ago. I talked about that Golden Tate play weeks ago, and I said then I didn't think that should have been a touchdown. They called it incomplete on the field. They overturned it in review and turned it into a touchdown. Now, Dean Blandino did talk this morning. I think he was on NFL Network, and he said the reason the Tate play was a touchdown and the Beckham play wasn't a touchdown is because Tate got a third step down after he established 2 feet.
So there was the run.
And that was him establishing himself as a runner.
I
look at the two plays. I don't think Tate has that third foot down before the ball comes out. So here's my thing. I think according to the rule, the same way the Dez Bryant play last year should have been an incomplete pass, if you want to stick with the rule book the way it is, the Tate play should have been incomplete and the Beckham play should have been incomplete. To me, Tate and Beckham are the same.
Right.
And for there to be
they had
different,
2 feet down.
Right. For there to be different calls on those two plays to me doesn't make any sense. And that's where you have some controversy. But to me, if you read the book, the rule book the way it is, I get why they should both be incomplete. Why Tate's a touchdown and Beckham's not, that's what I don't understand.
Okay, well, it's in your opinion, the third step was not down. In Blandino's, it was. There's why.
Well, here's the thing now, though. When a receiver catches the ball in the end zone, they should just play the hot step game. Catch it
and
do this. I'm serious. It's stupid. That doesn't make any sense. And now what they should do, and it's tough sometimes with the lower TV crews, you don't have as many cameras. You can go frame by frame now on video. Just have a number of seconds a guy has to have control of the ball. Say you have to have control of the ball for 1.5 seconds. You have to have control of the ball for 2 seconds or even just 1 second, whatever it is.
25 frames per millisecond.
Well, no. Well, you can go frame by frame, look at the tenth of the second on these replays and figure out how long a guy actually has the ball in his hands. That's why you're not worrying about whether or not he turns himself into the runner. You're not worrying about whether or not he makes a football move, whether he gets a third foot down. Just go to the replay. Literally, time by tenths of a second, how long guy has the ball in his hands, and then do it that way.
It's very confusing. I know it's got to be – it's so confusing to the fans because –
And frankly, I think it's confusing to the officials at this point.
Well, the officials in the Odell Beckham, they all conferred that it was a touchdown. And then they send it to New York, and New York says, no, it's not because of what we just talked about. So it's very – it's convoluted.
You keep hitting the desk and dislodging my football here, Feagles. You're killing me.
damn it.
All right, here we go. I'm going to watch this play now. Let's see. I can't get this video to your screen, folks. I'm sorry. But I'm watching
this
Beckham
is the rub
the bottom
play
of the
he was
screen.
Talking about?
Yeah, this is the second play. I bet you Harris goes outside and Beckham runs the slant, right? That's usually what the Giants run here. Let's see. The Patriots zone. Oh, wow. Beckham is wide open. The question, though, is do they follow Harris because that's where Eli is going with the football? Or do they leave Beckham before the throw is even made? You know what? I think 21 is reading the eyes of the quarterback, and he follows Harris because he sees that where Eli is going.
And there was a little
the
pressure there, too. Get a little pressure right here.
Yeah, you know what? Eli's throwing the ball before Beckham makes that cut. The corner's looking at the quarterback. Yeah. That's why he doesn't follow Beckham on that slant. So, yes, he looks open, but I think Eli's already in the process of throwing the ball to Harris before Beckham opens himself up.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, he gets time there. He settles his feet, right. Sees him wide open, and just drills it in there.
Absolutely. 201-939-4513. My man, Roldy in New York. What's up, brother?
What's going on, John? What's going on, Jeff?
How are you?
Very well, we're hanging in there this morning, or this afternoon,
I
should say.
I don't want to stay too much on that play with that touchdown thing, but I just also, I mean, they really do have to get it right. I mean, I just want to know, if a running back is going in for a touchdown, if the ball crosses the plane and somebody bats it down, they still call it a touchdown.
Now, but Roldy, remember, the running back has possession, though, before he puts the ball over the line. It's not a matter of getting the ball over the plane. It's a matter of establishing possession of the football. According to the officials, Beckham never actually had possession of the ball. That's why it's not a touchdown.
All right, fair enough. I mean, listen, I've been very critical of the coaching staff, but I'm not going to put the blame on the coaching staff. I think yesterday they put out a good game plan. You know, the players just did not execute. I mean, you know, there were plenty of plays, you know, that were left on the field that we could have scored a touchdown before that last possession even started. Yes, you know, Odell Beckham should have concentrated on holding on to that ball, you know, Landon Collins. Should have, you know, at least, I mean, there was nobody near him. He should have just not, instead of trying to be Superman, he could have just caught the ball. But, you know, I know a lot of fans are saying, you know, after this, you know, this loss, more, you know, victories, which there isn't, you know, we feel like we could beat any team. I mean, let's remember, the Giants always seems to play up to the best teams.
That's true.
And we always seem to play down to the losing teams.
That's true.
So, you know, as much as I want to be happy about the way that they played, let's not forget about this. The guys got to stay focused. Yes. This week is on their bye week, but the next week they got to stay focused. They got to really want it, and we kind of we got to stop talking about what happened in 07. It's almost the same thing. We had different personnel. This is a different personnel that's all the way up to this, you know, nice week that we're still trying to get the hang of the defense. Some players are out. Some players are just coming back. So we just got to wait on that. And the last thing too. I mean, I look at this season the way it's going. With both of my teams, with the Knicks and the Giants, it seems that they're having the leagues. They're playing good, but at the end we end up losing. It's just I don't know how much I can take of it, you know, of leading and losing at the final end. So
thank you, Roldy.
You're right.
And, hopefully we'll do better.
Hey, look, and Roldy, look, you hit it. And if you can – and I think you have to be careful with the 07-11 comparisons.
Oh, no,
I don't know how many times the last 3 or 4 years, oh, you know what this reminds me of? This reminds me of 2007. This reminds me of 2011. It's completely different teams. And every time a team does something bad, you can say, well, this is when they come back like they did in 2007. It's an easy comparison to make, but I don't think it's one that really rings true, to be honest with you.
No. I just want the Giants to stay focused, John, moving on. You know, I just want them to play the best of their ability on every single game, not just playing at a high level because it's an undefeated team and not playing at a high level when it's like a 2-5 team, you know, within your division and taking them last. I just want them to stay focused every single game, every single possession. And just like Tom Coughlin said, finish the play, finish the game. And, you know, last night I was listening to the fan, and Carl Banks said it's the best. I know fans are saying manage the clock. Bull crap, you know. Like Carl Banks said yesterday, you know, you don't play to lose the game. You play to win the game, you know. And one more thing about Bob Papa was saying something interesting last night on the fan, too. He said, you know, after that play with the Odell Beckham, he didn't feel comfortable. He didn't like the play that the rollout with Eli Manning. He felt like, you know, by you doing that, because Odell Beckham was on the other side, you take Odell Beckham out. Now the defense knows that you're not going to Odell Beckham. Now you're going to the other guy. I just want you guys to elaborate on what you know, Bob Papa was, you know, trying to say yesterday about, you know, on that second play after that, drop touchdown that Eli Manning was rolling out to the right.
Bob's point was that you want to give Eli a chance to read both sides of the field and don't jam him up into that small of a space.
Yeah, by running to the one side of the field, you're taking away almost three-quarters of the field away from Eli. Just you have to, you know, and his
thanks
his
for the call, Roldy, by the way. We appreciate
on that
it.
Portion of the field, where if he drops straight back, you've got a vision of the whole field. You get a little more options. And then it kind of goes back to the Dallas game. In that situation, you go down and, you know, declare yourself down or, you know, take the sack and let the clock run.
And by the way, for all the killing Eli got for that mistake against Dallas, let's give him a little praise for doing the right thing in this game by sliding down in bounds.
Yeah, well, he learned from his mistakes. Right. That's for good. But, I mean, that was his point with Bob was trying to make. And I thought it was a good point. You don't want to isolate your best player away from the play. That's just what they did.
201-939-4513. Fans, don't forget, Big Blue Kickoff Live is brought to you by DraftKings. Now, if you've never played on DraftKings, it's changing the way we play fantasy football. Just pick your contest, pick your players, and if you win, pick up your cash. Simple as that. Go to DraftKings.com. Enter promo code CONTACT to claim your free entry today. DraftKings, fantasy sports, free to play. I mean,
I did pretty good this week.
Do you want to wait till tomorrow, Raveem, or do you want to do them now?
No, I think I did because I had somebody tweet out to me, hey, I wish I would have listened to your draft picks or your fantasy this week. That's all he said to me. Didn't tell me if I.
I can tell you what. Cam Newton had a couple touchdowns. So he had a running touchdown and a passing touchdown. Brandon Cooks had two touchdowns to the air and had 100 yards, so he was very good. And then Ben Roethlisberger ended up playing in that game, actually. I'm not sure what D'Angelo Williams did in that game. Did he have a big game, D'Angelo Williams? See, I don't have the point total, so I can't
technically
do this review
but
now.
Those are my guys. At least I might have hit on at least two of the three. You know?
That's actually two strong weeks in a row for you.
Hey, coming on. Coming on, baby. Woo! Spending your money.
All right, we got. as everyone that knows Jeff Fiegel as well, he doesn't like spending his own money.
No,
he loves spending other people's money.
I love spending other people's money.
Let's go. We got three callers. We got 8 minutes now. Let's get to you. Dexter in Las Vegas. Dexter, go.
Hey, John. What's going on, Jeff?
Dexter.
Hey, you're welcome.
Tell some of these fans they need to slow down, take it easy, and relax. I mean, I listen to you guys every day. I know I haven't called in about a year, but when I get hear too many things and too many negative things, I have to say that's enough. I have to call.
You got to call in.
Now,
well, thank you.
The coaching, they did great. They did fantastic. They got the guys together and stuff to play this game. I mean, honestly, the defense wasn't doing too hot all season and stuff until. They're just now starting to click and stuff. Now they got JPP back. And I think he sparked up a whole lot of them guys and stuff and got them together and tell them, look, we need to do way better than what we're doing now and stuff. And now that they're playing, they played on time. Like, you know, they were on him like white on rice. And the thing is, I mean, the defense, man, they clicking right now. They really clicking right now. And Roley with the last caller, he hit on a lot of points that I wanted to say, but I agree with him so much. And the thing is with these guys, like these fans like Drew and Charlie, they killing me, man. They put ice in my tea every morning.
I mean,
they need to put their tutus back on and pull their panties up and then just relax. And stuff,
oh,
man.
Boy.
Giants are doing excellent. They're getting it together. They still in first place, so they need to relax and take it easy and stuff because they're going to be playing the next few games with coming off the bye with Washington. I mean, they know they can play with anybody now, so I'm pretty sure now that they got the defenses clicking out, we're going to do a whole lot more in the runs. So my thing is just tell them, relax, take it easy, and let them Giants do what they got to do.
Thank you, Dexter.
All right, guys.
You, that's point. Now it's counterpoint. Charlie in Portland, Maine, on line one. Chuckles, what do you have to say about that?
Hey, gentlemen, I hope he's got his tea out.
he's going to drop some ice in it.
And his rice. Right in rice.
No, actually, yeah. This is what I think. I think our lowest point this year was the New Orleans game. That was our lowest point, especially for the defense. I think our highest point is this game. I think our defense found their identity. I think they found their confidence, and I think, and they're finally getting what Spags is trying to do, and we had players playing. I mean, we played the best team in the league, 8-0, and actually we totally outplayed them. We really did outplay them. There were 7 or 8 things in this game. If there was 8 things that we blew, if we only blew 7 of them, we would have still beat them. I mean, to me, the biggest play that really beat us was the special teams play.
Oh, yeah, that punt return, it completely changed the whole flow of the game.
It changed the momentum.
Absolutely.
But the thing is, they weren't doing anything on defense, and they weren't doing anything on offense. That was the one play. If even with Beckham's, you know, I thought it was a touchdown, but even if it wasn't, Collins dropping the pass, and also that fourth down play, we had them 4th and 10. I mean, even with all those, to me, the special team play changed it because they couldn't do anything against us. So I look
Close
at
one.
It as this. I think it's our high point. I think it's great that we're playing Washington after the bye because everybody knows that's an important game. It's a divisional game. And I think we're going to go on a 5 or 6 game winning streak. I really think that we have finally found our confidence and identity.
Wow, Charlie,
really
Charlie, you surprised me.
I think
because
we're going to the playoffs because it doesn't matter if we're 7-9, 8-8, 12-4, you know, 8, whatever. Once you get in the playoffs, none of that matters anymore. We just need to get into the playoffs, and I think this is going to, you know, push us, compel us, catapult us into the playoffs. This game should be, they should be so freaking proud of themselves. Spags should be so proud. They say, don't blitz Brady. Guess what? We blitzed Brady, and it made him worse. You can blitz this guy. We had the most pressures, Harry's, sacks, hits on a quarterback that we've had all year. And one man has made the big difference, and that's JPP, getting him back. So I look at this as, you know, we're going forward here, and I think this is our high point, and I think we'll see that at the end when we're in the playoffs. And then once we're in the playoffs, with Eli's magic, his Superman cape, when he gets in there, anything can happen. And our defense is becoming a dominant defense. I know people might laugh, but we have a middle linebacker now. We have JPP now. We're going to get a whole bunch of people back after the bye. I think we're in good shape. I see, you know. So hopefully the last call is tea is still hot.
Thank you, Charlie.
Good call.
Now,
Charlie,
instead of dropping the ice in the tea, refreshed his tea there.
He really did.
And a little light pour.
He put a little sugar in that tea. I like it. Sweetened it up.
That is his happy. And, you know, it's funny. Charlie's like, oh, they might win 5 in a row to end the year. You know, Charlie, I was going to tell Charlie, he's right on pace. He predicted 8-8 back on April 10th. What was that, April 14th? You know, they're 5-5. They're right on pace for 8-8. I thought Charlie was going to be all psyched about his prediction. And number two, by the way, you know, he nailed their record last year, too, I think.
Wow. Wow.
So,
well, Charlie, he sounds pretty confident. And going forward,
Charlie
now,
feels
I mean,
very good about himself.
That punt was a big, big, big turning point in the game. The Giants were up 20-10. There and
by the way, give me a breakdown. What went wrong on that coverage?
Well, they were on it was a block. The Patriots went after the kick, so they had single coverage on the Gunners, and that's why Dwayne Harris was down the field. So it was nobody was covering him, and he got snookered.
Now here's
really
the thing.
Did.
Now Amendola, people thought it was a fair catch, but he was saying scatter,
Peter,
scatter, scatter.
Peter,
now
yeah.
What do the Gunners do when the guys receiving the punt yell scatter?
They slow down because they think it's a short kick and it's going to hit them. Now the rule is if the ball hits the guy going down the field, the returner can pick the ball up with no liability whatsoever. If he runs it in for a touchdown, he runs it in for a touchdown. If he actually picks that ball up and runs and fumbles, they still get the ball back.
Correct.
So the scatter thing is like you think it's a short kick and they slow down and they start looking for the football. Well, guess what? Dwayne Harris slowed down and looked for the football and Amendola, he catches it and boom. So it was he got snookered on the
second
play.
Question. Once the return begins, there were some blindside blocks on that return.
Three.
Do you believe, correct, the first one on Herzlich. Do you believe any of those were illegal blocks?
I think
they were close.
I think the one on Herzlick was close. I'm going to say no on that one because he did kind of like right the waist level. Okay.
Okay. So now I know a couple of people thought that was too low. You thought it was at a good height.
I thought it was at. It was a very, very close call.
Okay.
Too close to make the call, in my opinion.
Okay.
The second one on wing, you're never going to get that call. The third one, I believe, was a penalty, and that was the one on, I believe it might have been Dahl.
You think that was a legal crack,
I think that
crack
was a push.
Back, whatever it is. Yes.
Block in the back.
Oh, you thought he pushed him in the back?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't see that one. All right, I'll have to go back and look at that
look
play.
Look at the third one.
Okay.
To me, the third one was the closest of the ones that should have been called that are normally called. But that was that was an 82. That he caught the ball on the 7-8 yard line.
And then his own guy tackled him. By the way,
and just then I was thinking to myself, this game is so set up for the Giants to win when something like this happens. Edelman goes out of the game with a broken foot. This guy is going to return a 82 yard touchdown, and the guy gets tackled by his own player.
Yeah, at first live, I thought he popped his hamstring, and that's why he went down. But then on the replay, that shows he actually clipped the guy's foot.
But, man, you know, and then that was just a big, big play in the game. Any type of special teams play like that always is a big play in the game in a close game. It really is.
All right. They actually back coach up a couple minutes, so we can squeeze in one more call.
Nice.
Christian in New York. Christian, go ahead. You can wrap us up.
What's up, Christian?
Hey, guys. Well, I'm glad to hear that Charlie's having a good day.
He is.
That was pretty surprising.
Yeah, I know.
But, hey, good for him.
Yeah, good for him.
Good for him.
He must have taken his medicine today, you know?
Well, I want to look at this with a real positive point of view here. If our whole division loses to the Patriots, which, I mean, seems pretty safe to assume, it's not really a disadvantage at that point if you want to look at it as each team starting out
0-1. Yeah, I see what you're saying.
So that's just kind of how I'm looking at it. I mean, I really don't see the Eagles beating them. Weird things have happened, but I really wanted to mention how high a character I think Odell has. I mean, he was not afraid to really take ownership. And it's not that one player ever loses the game, but he realizes that, you know, he, on that play, basically let the team down because he could have just pulled the ball into his body and made a little move, and then that's it.
Now, yeah, honestly, Christian, to me, I thought Odell was too hard of himself after the game to say he's the lone reason they lost the game and things like that. To use the thing like the only reason and things, I think that's going a little overboard. I love the fact that he takes ownership and says, look, I got to make that play. It's my job to score the touchdowns. I've got to play through that play and score it. I applaud you. I think that's a very good job of him taking responsibility. But, look, even if he doesn't hold on to that ball, there are a couple things that can happen on the subsequent defensive possession, and the Giants can still win that game.
And it's a learning experience for him, so you can pretty much guarantee he's not going to do that again.
And we actually have seen him, after some catches, kind of hold the ball out to show that he has it, and I think he has to make sure that he's down and has control before he does that in the future.
Oh, and by the way, good play on the other one, though. Only 87 yards for a touchdown, you know, or whatever it was. I mean, don't be too hard on yourself.
Awesome.
Man.
Not bad.
Yeah.
But he displayed such maturity, and that's so rare when someone becomes that famous that fast that he's still humble and mature enough to just keep things in perspective. That's
nice to
see. Awesome.
It really is. In the game today, it's very pleasant to see and understand that somebody could do that. I mean,
thanks for the call, Christian. We got to run.
These other guys around the league, you know, a lot of guys aren't going to stand. They're not going to be that stand-up guy, and that commands a lot of, a lot of respect in the locker room too.
Vigs, good times.
Wow, boy, this one flew by.
Now we aren't going to see you till next Monday, right?
What's Friday? We're not on Friday.
No show Thursday or Friday.
We will be here next week.
Giants staff will actually get a couple days off for the only time all season.
That's our bye too.
That is our bye as well. So, folks, we will have shows today. It'll be me and Dottino tomorrow, Lance and Anita on Wednesday. Then we'll be off Thursday or Friday. We'll be back with you on Monday. I guess that'll be Lance and Feagles. We'll be back with you.
We'll talk a little bit about the hangover this one and going forward towards the.
Well, I hope we're off the Patriot game by next Monday.
We won't be. You know that. You know that, John.
Will
Come
you
on,
shut up.
I would be fine with it, but I know our guys. They're going to be calling in, still wanting to know.
So. Hi, everybody. Hey, guys, great job on the phones. Good lively conversation. We love it. Appreciate you being a part of the show. Thanks for joining us. We'll go listen to Coach Coughlin. Hopefully they'll give us some more of an update, more information on the Victor Cruz scenario and any other injuries, the Weston Richburg injury coming out of this game, which really is an important one. The Giants cannot afford to have him out for too long. And maybe we'll get more information on Justin Pugh as well, who had to sit out yesterday with an illness, see whether or not that was related to his issues last week or what the deal was with that. Hopefully we'll have more information. We'll also have a chance to talk to the assistant coaches this afternoon, and we'll talk about that again tomorrow on Paul and Iho. So for Jeff Eagles, I'm John Schmuck. That's today's edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live. We'll see you tomorrow.
All right, here we go. Here we go. Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go.
He's got through. 35-30.
Come on, man, we need the work. Let's go.
He's got through.